Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, why is that important? Because there are so many varieties of Christianity out there, and 95.9% of them are fake. Now, they may have some truth. They may have some understanding. But because they really don't believe God, they don't understand. Now, I want to ask you a question. What is the difference between believing that there is a God, which up to 90% of the people say they believe, and believing God? The difference is this. If you believe there is a God, you show no allegiance or no obedience to him. But if you believe God, you will do what he says. And remember, the Bible is the word of God, and all of it is true, and all of it is necessary to understand the truth of God and the power of God in prophecy. So what is your idea of God? How powerful do you think God is? How involved in the events on the earth do you believe that he is? Well, let's come to 2 Timothy, the first chapter, and let's see that God lets us know that what he is doing goes far back in time. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mindedness. That's because of the truth of God. Therefore, you should not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, your prisoner, but jointly suffer with me for the sake of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, how much do you understand about the power of God in prophecy? Does God have the power to declare something thousands of years ago, or eons before there was ever time, and make it come to pass? That's the question you need to understand. Verse 9, now let's read this. Now I want you to think about what God has done, and I want you to think about how much of men's traditions and interpretations in the Bible that you believe. And how many ministers have declared that Christ is returning real soon? And it never happened.
There'll be a worldwide earthquake such as man has never seen.
Destruction and death everywhere.
They spent months warning the world of the apocalypse. On May 21st at 6 p.m., this man, Harold Camping, says worldwide destruction would begin. His message sent far and wide via broadcast from his small California studio. And predicting the end of the world didn't come cheap. Camping and his followers spent millions on advertising, like the one on this billboard.
There's just no reason in the world, no possibility that it will not happen.
But 6 o'clock came and went. Although Iceland's most active volcano did start to erupt, there was no apocalypse.
I looked at all the scientific data I could find, like carbon-14 dating or potassium-argon dating.
The 89-year-old Camping had said some 200 million people would be saved. and those left behind would slowly die until finally the globe is consumed by a fireball on October 21st.
When they shall see the smoke of her burning.
It's not the first time this retired civil engineer has predicted the world would end. He said the same thing would happen in 1994. He was wrong that time, he says, because of a mathematical error.
Why did they get it wrong? Well, we'll answer that question as we go through. But the short answer is because they didn't believe God. So therefore, they chose license to give their interpretation of what they think the Bible says and means in prophecy as well as other things without using the whole Word of God to make sure that what they are saying actually is what God means. So let's read verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Now notice this next sentence. This is profound. This is fundamental. But according to his own purpose. Yes, God has a great purpose for everything that he is doing. And human beings are central and integral to this purpose. And yet, most don't even know it, even if they have the Word of God, because the Word of God to them is more like a rabbit's foot that you carry in your purse or in your pocket, or a crucifix that you hang on your rearview mirror in the car. That's not of God. According to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. Now notice this next phrase. Since God is eternal and God is all-powerful, his plan reaches way back in time before the creation of the earth and the creation of angels. And the creation of man. Given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages of time. You see, God inhabits eternity. And he creates the segments of eternity as ages of time. Now let's read a little bit more, verse 10. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has annulled death and has brought to light eternal life and incorruptibility through the gospel. Now that tells you the ultimate result of God's plan. But let's examine a very fundamental verse in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. So let's turn there. In the beginning was the Word. Now that's another name for Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Little sidebar. Stop and think right here. In the family of God, how many gods are there? One? Three? Or two? What does this tell us? There are two. Another little sidebar. The Bible does not teach that there is a third person in the Godhead. That is called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the Bible is the power of God, not a third person. God. So if you believe in a Trinity, you believe a lie.
You're about to learn true secrets most people will never know about how Christianity's Holy Trinity is a hoax and a deception. It was created to cover up a more ancient and powerful three-in-one religion that was once practiced across ancient Europe. A three-in-one religion that can empower you by helping you remember who you are. Historians tell us that the Holy Trinity concept was conceived at the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. The council was convened by church authorities to discuss and agree on God's true nature. But what we are not told is that this new Holy Trinity idea was created to cover up an older, more self-empowering three-in-one religion. A three-in-one religion so ancient and so ingrained. If this sounds crazy, then think about the story of St. Patrick in Ireland. He famously converted all the old Irish pagans to Christianity by using the three-leaf shamrock, which was the central icon of their age-old three-in-one tradition. When St. Patrick asked the Irish if the shamrock was one leaf or three, they replied, "It is both one and three." Patrick then concluded, "So it is with God." Clearly, hidden within this story of St. Patrick's conversion tactics is explosive evidence of a cover-up. Each local area in Europe had its own triangular three-in-one symbol. Yet, taken together, these symbols all point to the same universal three-in-one religion. The discovery of these parallel three-in-one symbols is unprecedented, and their existence indicates a link between northern, southern, eastern, and western Europe, a discovery that has thus far eluded scholars. A memory of the true meaning of this ancient three-in-one religion is still with us today, as we associate symbols like the fleur-de-lis and the triquetra with magic and mysticism.
Now, if you don't believe that, you just keep searching our websites and find out about the Holy Spirit. It is the power of God. And Paul never addresses the Holy Spirit in the opening of his 14 epistles as God. It is always God the Father and Jesus Christ and various different ways of expressing that. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. Now notice this, there's no such thing as evolution. Now, you need to write in for our book on evolution. God, no God. And it overwhelmingly proves that the very mathematics that the evolutionists use discredit completely their belief in evolution. All things came into being through him, and not even one thing that was created came into being without him. Now think about this in the realm of the finite, the smallest, the littlest. Think about every cell and atom. Think about you as a person. You have trillions of cells within your body that are automatically working and automatically keeping you alive. There are new cells being made and old cells being sloughed off. And all the processes necessary of nourishment and evacuation of waste, God has made all of that. And hearing and seeing and thinking and reasoning. Okay? That's all what God created. Now you need our book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God. Why were you born? Because there's a great purpose for you. And that purpose God had before the ages of time. And he knows the beginning and he knows the end. Let's come here to Isaiah 46. Let's see what God says. And then we will see something. And here's what you will find. You will find a statement in the Old Testament and a confirmation of it in the New Testament. Now, here's a simple way to understand. The Old Testament is like a lock. There's a lot of knowledge in there, but you need the New Testament and Christ, which together is the key that unlocks the understanding in the Old Testament and opens the understanding in the New Testament. Now, we got a new booklet coming. the prophecies of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Do you know how many there are? 356. Now you add that together. 3 and 5 is 8, and 6 is 14, so that's 2 times 7. Double completion. Old Testament, New Testament. And guess what? All the apostles, when they began preaching, preached from the Old Testament, the prophecies about Christ and his ministry. Then they were inspired to write the New Testament to finish and complete the whole Bible. So you see, God has a plan and God has a purpose, and he knows what's going on. So let's read it here. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old. That's why you've got to have the Old Testament, so you can see what God is doing and the power of God and what God requires. And you can see how human nature in rebelling against God, beginning with Adam and Eve, put the world into the predicament that it is today. And then you add into the mix of that Satan the devil. And then you have a perfect outline for understanding what's happening today and how the prophecies are unfolding. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Now think about that. Now this is the one who became Jesus Christ. He told the religious leaders at the temple when they said, "Who are you?" And he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And when he said, "I am" in the Greek, they knew that meant he was God. So this is the one who became Christ. Now notice verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things which were not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." Now think about that for a minute. God will do all his pleasure. No one's going to go back on it. Now let's come to the book of Revelation, the first chapter, because here we find what Jesus said of himself. Now let's pick this up beginning in verse 4. This sets and opens the stage for understanding the things in the book of Revelation. And you can't understand Revelation without Daniel, and you can't understand Daniel without Revelation. Let's begin in verse 4. John, to the 7 churches that are in Asia, grace and peace be to you from him who is and who was and who is to come. Who is? He's now living. He is God. Who was? He was Jesus Christ in the flesh and the Lord God of the Old Testament. And who is to come. And he's coming. And we're going to cover some of the signs of Jesus coming. And from the 7 spirits that are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Another little sidebar. This helps us understand what does it mean to be born again. There are a lot of people who believe that they're born again.
I declare with all of the authority that God has put inside of me right now for every person within the sound of my voice.
That is a mirage. That is a deception. Why? Because to be born again, you must be born of spirit. That is a spiritual birth, meaning you must be transformed from flesh to spirit. Whenever a person has a baptismal experience and comes out of the water, that is not being born again, because they do not become spirit beings. Firstborn from the dead. Now, let's add one more scripture here for your understanding. Jesus was called in Matthew 1:18, the firstborn of Mary. So his first birth as a human being was firstborn. And he was the firstborn from the dead. This clearly shows what it means to be born again. Let's move on. And ruler of the kings of the earth. Stop and think of this. Nothing on this earth is going on that God does not know and understand every single little thing, down to the finest little detail, though he does not interfere and make himself known to the world. But he knows what's going on. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Let's come down here to verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega. Now that's the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. The beginning and the ending. Remember what we read? That from the beginning God knows the ending. How could it be any otherwise? How could he be God if he didn't know? That would make him incompetent. Who is? He's now living. Who was? Resurrected from the dead and Lord God of the Old Testament. And who is to come? The Almighty. Now stop and think about this for just a minute. How many crucifixes have you seen with an image of Jesus molded or carved on that image as a helpless individual that can't do anything? That's a fake Jesus. And if you have one of those in your home, you better get rid of it, because God's second commandment says, you shall not make any image of anything that's in heaven above, on the earth beneath, or in the waters under the earth, and you shall not bow down to it to worship it. So what are you going to do? Huh? Do you have a crucifix hanging on your rearview mirror? Do you think that little idol is going to save you? I wonder how many accidents in cars that have, down through time and through history, that have gotten into serious and deadly accidents, and here's the crucifix dangling back and forth after the wreck. Did it save them? No. Let's go on. He repeats it. Verse 11. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the churches. Yes, this is the principle of God. It's written down. There's no such thing as oral tradition. Because God knows better than to leave it to the memory of sinful men. He has it written down by holy men that he has chosen.
The Bible is written documentation, not oral tradition. And that means that we can trust the Bible. We can trust that it is the accurate words of God. Moses wrote down all the words of Yahweh. Now notice the words wrote down. This tells us that as these events were happening, Moses was writing down what was happening. Moses wrote down the words that God gave to the Israelites. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, "All that Yahweh has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." Notice the word book and the word read. Again, these things were written down. The words of Yahweh were written down. They were in a book. And Moses took that book and he read to the Israelites. And that tells us that these events were written down and documented as they happened. Let's keep reading there at verse 12. "Now Yahweh said to Moses, 'Come up to me on the mountain and remain there, and I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction.'" Notice a reference to the stone tablets. This was something that God wrote on, and it tells us, we see the word written. God wrote the commandments on these stone tablets so that the Israelites would have them in written form, so that they would be documented.
I want you to have a greater and more powerful understanding of God, and that He has the capacity and He has the ability to cause things to happen exactly as He has prophesied through His prophets in His Word. And not one word will fail. Remember the 356 prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament? Not one failed. All the prophecies of God are sure and true, and they will not fail, because God will not fail. He will cause it to come to pass exactly as He has said. And this is the way we need to approach prophecy and the Word of God, prophecy and the power of God. He's not a God who created everything and then ran off and left it to go by itself and then look down and say, "Well, I wonder how all of that came about. Well, look at this. Well, what do you know? I'm very surprised. I have no understanding that they would do this." And that's how many people view God. How do you view God? How do you view the prophecies of God? Well, we'll get into that in the next segment. But the thing you need to understand is that God is almighty, God is all-knowing, God is all-powerful, God is creator of all that there is. He has a plan and a purpose that He is carrying out, which is revealed in His Word, but only revealed to those who love Him and obey Him. So the question is, do you? Now we've got another book for you that you need to have. "Lord, what should I do?" Do you know what you should do? Relationship to God, relationship to the Word of God, relationship to what God says we need to do. You need these books. We send them to you at no cost so that you can find out about God. You can find out about the purpose of why you were born, from a speck of dust to a son of God, that you can understand that evolution is a total farce. So be sure to go to our other website, truthofgod.org, and there we have many detailed sermons and messages to help answer questions. So until next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.